Welcome to the ALS PCS 4.0 refresher for the neonatal resuscitation directive. I'm Jennifer Woods, pre-hospital care specialist, and alongside me is our local medical director, Dr. Don Eby. The following is intended to provide you with a summary of notes that reflects the changes to the ALS PCS. So Dr. Eby, what has changed in the neonatal resuscitation medical directive?
There's been a couple of changes, Jen. The first is the indications. What they have done is they've removed severe cardiorespiratory distress to simply neonatal patient. So any neonatal patient who's having difficulty breathing or in cardiac arrest is included in this medical directive.
Excellent. So I noticed that the companion document says if the patient is not newly born, we would skip the top part as far as warming, drying, and stimulating, and we would skip right to assessing respirations and heart rate. Is that correct?
That's correct. Unless the child has just been delivered, you would skip the warming, clearing the airway. So the age condition has been changed from newborn or less than 30 days to just less than 30 days. This is just to simplify the directive.
Excellent. And has anything else changed?
The condition which read less than full term or meconium or poor Apgar score has also been removed. Again, this just simplifies it. So you use this directive for any child who has just been delivered up to 30 days.
Excellent. And what else has changed?
All the contraindications have been removed. The treatment flow chart was also updated to reflect the AHA guidelines. The color assessment has been removed from the flow chart. They've also changed the setup of the flow for timing intervals and wording, and we'll have a look at that in a minute. The other piece that is different is up in the top left-hand corner, there's a small chart that talks about targeted preductal SaO2. This was added because as the child changes from being intrauterine, depending upon the umbilical artery for oxygen to out in the world and breathing by itself, there's a period of time where the transition of the circulation occurs. There's two things that happen. The first is the closing of the foramen ovale, a small hole between the atria and the ductus arteriosus, which is a vessel which leads from the pulmonary artery directly into the aorta. These two changes occur to allow blood to flow now through the lungs rather than having them bypass, which is what happens when the child is intrauterine. So there's a period of time where this actually occurs, and so the SaO2s that are in the chart reflect this, so that by 10 minutes the child should have a normal SaO2. But if the child has just been delivered and say after 3 minutes of our post-delivery, the SaO2 would only expect it to be 70% to 75% if it's taken in the right hand. And so this is why the monitoring requirements now include putting the SaO2 probe on the right hand of the child. And in addition, cardiac monitoring needs to be done during a neonatal resuscitation.
Excellent. So just to clarify, the oxygen saturation chart has been added as a guideline for newborn babies, and the values are ideal targets that require application of the SpO2 probe on the right hand.
That's correct. However, the chart really doesn't affect your treatment in any way.
Excellent. Has anything else changed at all?
There's also been a clinical consideration added, and that is if neonatal resuscitation is required, you are to initiate cardiac monitoring and pulse oximetry monitoring. Pulse oximetry monitoring would, of course, be ideally in the right hand for an immediate newborn. This doesn't matter if the child is more than a couple of hours old. It doesn't matter where you put the oxygen probe at that point.
Excellent. So how is all of this going to affect my practice?
Well, the expectation now is that there will be cardiac and SaO2 or SpO2 monitoring throughout a neonatal or just delivered resuscitation, as well as a resuscitation for the child up to 30 days of age. there really isn't any other treatment change. The flow chart is essentially the same and all the other actions are the same, but it appears to be formatted differently.
Awesome. And so does this affect both PCP and ACP medical directives?
Yes. Both the PCP and ACP medical directives are included in this change.
Excellent. And I should start that July 17th, 2017, correct?
That's right. That's when the changes take effect.
Awesome. Thanks, Don. And any questions again, please contact your pre-hospital care specialist.